Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. So we created a podcast where we have million-dollar conversations that help small business owners thrive. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Carity of Matagy Digital.
And we're recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community in downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. Our sponsor today is Digital Service Squad. Are you a small business owner looking to take your business online? From e-commerce to social media, Digital Main Street has free training, tools, and resources to help you jump in and grow your digital presence. Visit www.kawarthalakes.ca/digital-service-squad or just search in Google for Digital Main Street Kawartha Lakes for more info. All right, today with us, we have a guest who is going to be talking with us about wasting money wisely. So Rochelle has been very gracious to join on this episode because she gave us some feedback as a listener, and it really aligned with a topic that I wanted to do, which is about something I think every small business owner does, is we waste a little bit of money. And Rochelle told us a story, and I was like, man, we need to talk about that on the podcast. So first, Rochelle, introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your business.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rochelle, the owner of Yoga Mojo. I offer yoga and spiritual coaching online and in the community. We focus on connection and really bringing that community together.
Awesome. And so this episode is about that step of, I think, to be a real business owner, I think you have to waste some money and like have that like, oh, that was a mistake. And I feel like that's a rite of passage that's just as good as registering your business. I've talked on the podcast before, I've done it. So when I first got into business, I think I way overpaid for the website I got at the time without having some other things in place. That number for me, I think, you know, was about $10,000. I use the $10,000 number as sort of that rite of passage. Like, you know, until you've wasted 10 grand, you're not really a business owner. And sometimes you need that step of going through that. And it might not always be obvious, but it's normal. Everyone does it. I'm not telling people to go out and throw some money around. But we are going to do things that just don't work sometimes. So yeah, tell us a little bit about, you know, that decision that you made that made you tell us the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all started with seeing an Instagram ad. And then I got on this call with this very lovely woman who pressured sales me into this program that was honestly like the red button into opening my yoga business online. And in hindsight, I realized that, and you should never, you know, choose the opportunity with a red button because it doesn't exist. Everything takes time and is different for everybody. So I invested over 10 grand American in this program that brought me zero results. Many people in the program were not successful. Actually, I don't know any that were successful. It was a cookie cutter program that unfortunately didn't fit anybody.
You don't need to name the name of the company, but like, I do want to know a little bit more about what this was. So what was the offering? Like, what was the service? What did they tell you you were going to get from it?
So they were offering, offering us to set up an online business.
Okay.
They didn't mention that we'd be spending thousands of dollars on Facebook ads every month with no results. So it's all about a numbers game, they were telling us. So the more money you're putting into the ads, the more numbers you will get for people to book a call on this webinar, from seeing this webinar. And so, yeah.
So what did they set you up with, like a website and social media, or what did they give you?
So they gave me modules. So I followed a module program online. I got a few personal coaching calls, so some mindset calls and some just general coaching calls. There's also group calls. They mainly set us up to set up a signature program, a high price ticket item that we focus on, which doesn't work, in my opinion, especially for business I'm in.
I think, those are the types of programs that, like, me and my business, I rage against, and I think it's held me back from marketing because, you know, I've talked before, I've hesitated using the term coach. I hate the idea of, like, that, hey, join my program, it's this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I would bet the learning you had, the nuts and bolts, probably for the right fit worked. But what happens is they get sold on, and some people are great salespeople. And it's like, hey, buy my 10 grand program. It's, you know, guaranteed to work. And then what happens is they've sold it to you and a bunch of people where it probably wasn't the right fit, and then it doesn't work. But if they've sold it to the right people, it probably was the formula, because it's probably the formula they used. And, you know, they're not wrong when they talk about, oh, it's a numbers game. And sometimes for some businesses, it is like you just need more and more ads out, but then there's a direct correlation between, you know, I spend $1,000 in ads, I get $5,000 in business. But to get to the point of figuring that out is, I think, the really hard part, which, you know, they were offering maybe the mechanism, but not the core value of, is this right for your business?
Yeah, and I think, what you said was interesting. Like, there's no red button way to start your business, or there's no like, okay, you come to me, you spend all this money, and then your business is going to be thriving right away, which, not to mansplain, it sounds like you come to realize most, right? Is like, yeah, there's no like quick fix to start something or whatever. So
absolutely.
That's the scary part, where there's these coaches and programs that will prey on people in general, people that are enthusiastic about business, entrepreneurial, want something more out of life. And you're like, oh, this is like a guarantee. They probably talked about guarantees. They probably talked about 10X and all these other things. And the biggest lesson from all this for everyone is probably there is no quick fix for anything, especially not a business. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. One of the most shocking things about the program is like going through and submitting all these assignments. They would ask, hey, can we use this as an example? You know, so I was doing the program, you know, to the best of my abilities and, you know, no critical feedback that I could use. And then so I got to the end of the program feeling even more disheartened because, yeah.
Yeah, that is like... Again, a little bit seething from it, because I think, you know, in my own coaching business, like that's a lot of, it's just a lot of money up front for an unknown. And I think I'm not against, you know, I've invested $10,000 in programs that have been very good investments for me, and I'm happy about it. Rarely do they guarantee something up front, and there's always like several suitability calls, and like they won't even let you in if you're not. You know, if you don't fit what they know as a success story, because they put in the work of like being able to identify who their clients are, and it's priced at that value. But yeah, to do those things, it just sounds like, not, you know, I don't like using the word scam, but it's like they're also probably helping you, or, you know, they're using your work as examples for other people, but without linking it to a success. And I think that's the part there where the success isn't always guaranteed, but then like the price has to match what it is. What I do want to affirm though is just your willingness to invest in your business. Okay. So that's what something we want to celebrate, because I sort of joke that, you know, we have to, you know, we make sometimes decisions that we think through and are good that just don't work. Yeah. And we find out later that it was, you know, not suitable. So for you, I think it wasn't suitable for your business where you were. I put some blame on them because they should have known that if they were a good, solid business, like you can tell, like I know for me, I can tell when someone's not suitable for what I offer. Mm-hmm. And then if I can't show them success, then it's just taking their money. But you're willing to invest and do that. that thing. And I think what happens is people get afraid to then invest in something more. And it's overcoming that and figuring out, you know, as a business, where's that next place to start, right? To like invest again in something, time, money, to like get that traction. Because I think you have an awesome business model. I think you as a guide is needed. It's interesting. People need you. So we don't want you to quit. We want you to like find out what's next. And this is very normal for every business goes through it, which is why we want to have this conversation on the podcast about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what did you think was going to come from it originally? Like, did they say you're going to get a website and we're going to do marketing, we're going to teach you all this framework and everything?
No. So they had no hands in helping me set up anything. They had modules to set up different links to Facebook ads, the pixel, how to track all of that.
It was a lot of marketing type of training.
Yes,
it was
marketing, 100% marketing. And like I was just speaking to someone this morning, I get emails sometimes from healers. Sometimes I open them and then I open up another one and they're exactly the same template, just a few words changed. So I learned a lot about that, and honestly, I learned what I'm not going to do. I also learned a lot about myself, though, through the coach. So I had this one coach who would never give me a straight answer, and he would always just beat around the bush, and even to other people, you know, they were really struggling. And so they asked the coaches, like, hey, like, what can I do? And they would turn it back on us and be like, you know, because we're all yogis. And they're like, well, it's something out of alignment with you. And it's like, yes, I totally understand that aspect, but as a business, you need to give people viable steps to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting just in terms of coaching, because I find, again, I resisted coaching as a term for myself because there's that classic, like, well, coaches never give answers. We, you know, you want it to come from that person, but there are times where you need to say, like, here's what I would do, or here's what I think you should do, versus, you know, you're not always going to say, here's exactly what to do, what will work, because they don't know, and nobody knows those things. But yeah, you need to be able to, like, give some more specific direction. And I don't like the, oh, there's something out of line with you, because there's something out of line with all of us, right? Like, that's why we go on these journeys to, like, constantly make improvements of things, and why there is no perfect, you know, if I hire you as a spiritual coach, you're not going to spend 20 minutes with me. I'm going to be perfectly aligned forever. Like, you know, it's the same in business.
What did you learn about yourself, you said?
Yeah, so I learned from that coach not giving me the answers I wanted, that I was actually putting an expectation on him. So I was expecting him to help me, guide me in the right direction, but I can't control what he says. I can't change him, you know. I just have to accept it. And so that really made me realize, like, you know, hey, you know, I can't expect anything when I ask a question.
Sure, sure. I think expectation is a big thing. That's, I work so hard with the people I work with, setting expectation from day one, like that first call I have with them. The second call that I have is like a presentation, and most of it is, I'm trying to like get people to work with me or explain to them that I have a solution that can help their problem. But at the same time, I'm trying to set expectation. This is how it's going to be. This is the scope of work. This is when I'm going to talk to you. Everything else that you're thinking about, get it out of your mind now. And I found that's been probably the biggest thing for me in my business, is setting expectation for people and like making sure they know this is what to expect going into it. And I find it helps myself as well. And I think, I don't know if accuse is the proper word. I've been told I have been direct in the last couple months by two different people in two different conversations. And at first I took it offensively. I was offended. I'm not offended, but I was like, well, that kind of hurt. But I almost immediately thought that's a really good thing to be business-wise. Do I want to be a dick? No. Do I want to be direct business-wise? Yeah, I do. I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't want to say it depends. I don't want to be like all up in the clouds with like maybe this, maybe that. I want to be like, this is what we're doing. I am direct because I believe I am an expert and I have methodologies and plans and processes and strategies. So I have to lay this stuff out there. So
that's interesting. Honestly, I get that a lot too, because I'm very intense. I'm a projector, so I project energy so people can feel what I'm feeling very easily. So I have to be super aware of that.
I was going to say, you're so passionate. And I was thinking, can I say that you're fiery?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean it appropriately because yeah. I like you, but like you're so, I can tell like you can, like you're so passionate about things. I've never seen you so negative about something before.
No.
And I don't know you very well, but the little bit that I've known you, you're so positive mm-hmm. and passionate. And it's just, it's unfortunate to see you negative about something.
Mm-hmm.
Did this take a lot out of you personally, professionally? Like, how did it leave you immediately feeling?
Like I failed. But then it was an opportunity for me to kind of reframe failing and giving myself the space to fail. Like, it's okay, you know? And then talking to other business owners, coming here for Monday morning coffees, it's really made me realize that it's a very common experience.
And that's why we're having this conversation. To me, it really embodies what I want the podcast to be about, which is real conversations mm-hmm. for real business owners. You know, we're not, you know, people trying to be gurus and telling you everything's perfect, but we do make mistakes and failing. I think, you know, I've had to go through ups and downs, and I have, you know, one project I call my greatest failure. But it's almost tongue-in-cheek because I learned so much about yes. myself from that whole situation. And I also affirmed so much about what I do know, the things I have that work, that I don't think I could build the business I want to have in the future without having gone through that. And I think you're in a similar spot where when you talk about what you learned about yourself, you have this powerful story now. And yeah, it sucks because you feel like you're just lighting a bunch of money on fire, mm-hmm. but it's almost like the key of what you need to sort of redeem and grow. And every business has something like that. So whether it's, hey, I bought this thing and I lost it, or maybe it's I undercharged for, you know, 2 years and I wasted a bunch of money that I could have had. Or like, there's always something where we've burned some money.
Absolutely. Yeah, one part I really burned a lot of money in that program was investing in, it was called Go High Level. So it was actually I looked it up for marketing agencies. So to run email campaigns, keep all of that data and mm-hmm. set up everything in there. But it was so confusing to use. And people were having trouble signing up their clients and getting that stuff going. There was no support on the weekends. Yeah.
Was that like a software type
software
of thing?
Called Go High Level.
And I think this, I've experienced it too. We get sometimes this like shiny box syndrome or shiny toy of like, oh, we want this awesome automation tool. And I've played with different ones. I think everyone sometimes wants to go with their business from like startup to big automation and everything's like flowing nicely. And I think it's a great mindset to have. But you almost just need to start with doing it manually mm-hmm. to figure out what works for you and then scale it when it's time to scale it. So, you know, sometimes these programs try to convince us to scale too fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we feel like a failure because we didn't create this business. That when you see people who have businesses like that are usually like, I've been in it 10 years and I've like tried all these things, and then they finally figure it out and they're growing. And we want to, with coaching or programs, maybe take people from, you know, it doesn't take them 10 years to get there. Maybe it takes them 5 years to get to the same place. But to go from like nothing to that is really hard. Yet some salespeople are great at selling that, right? They sell you the dream and the shortcut. But you have to go through the stages. Even if you go through them quickly, you still have to go through them.
Yeah, like you said, that's super cookie cutter solution for businesses. Not to just double up on what Brian said, but there's people I talk to marketing-wise all the time that are like, well, can we do automation and can we have this workflow? And HubSpot is an amazing tool, but it's costly, super efficient. But the thing is, like, it takes a ton of time to figure out. And I always tell people, like, you don't have an automation problem right now. You need opportunities, right? Like someone that we worked with that's been on the podcast, for instance, like they're talking about automation and workflow, and like they have 40 people in their email list. What are you going to do with automation for that right now, right? Like you need to build a lead machine first. I started using that vocabulary. Sounds kind of silly, but like phase one is like, we just need a bunch of people to come to your site. We need people to see who you are. We don't need to then like get like we don't immediately start thinking about a workflow right away. Mm-hmm. And I think I probably was guilty of that maybe at the beginning of Managing Digital, maybe at the beginning of Thrive, for instance, of like thinking so far ahead sometimes, which is like a strength of mine, but it's also probably a weakness.
I think it's also just fun. Part of the fun sometimes is you dream about your business and you dream about this thing you have where things are flowing. And yeah. I think it's natural to want that. You just don't always know the nuts and bolts of even the slick automation stuff. Stealing this from Dan Sullivan, he always says a smart person between him and technology. Mm-hmm. But even in those technologies and the automation, there's still a human element of someone who's managing that, making certain things talk to each other. So like, it's still an illusion that stuff just flows automatically. And the people I know who have built businesses where they have that stuff, it's always simpler than you think. And they all have a bunch of stories about wasting money on the things that didn't work for them. Or it's like a great tool, but it doesn't fit with how their brain works, right? Matt, you talked about you use Asana, which is a great tool, and there's ones that don't work for you, and then other people are like, oh, I hate Asana, it doesn't work for me. But it's all based on ourselves, and we have to sometimes burn some money on the tool that doesn't work well for us to be able to know when we find the one that does work for us to sort of affirm that, yes, this is what I want for me.
I like almost come full circle in some regards, where I work for three companies since I've graduated school. And every time you think the grass is always going to be greener on the other side, right? It never is. Like, it's just different problems. It's like having kids. I always say, like, I think the problems are going to go away. They're just different. The kids grow out of one problem and you got new problems. It's just like us as humans. But I remember the first job that I had right out of school, the guy was someone that would think of an idea and then he'd be like, now go figure this out. Like, launch it now. The idea would be, let's do this and start it now. And everyone would criticize him, thinking like, there's no plan here. There's no process, all this stuff. I've since learned no business has real great processes. Not no business. Most businesses don't have processes. But until recently, I used to be that guy that was like, okay, let's be smarter than that original boss. Let's have a plan and a process. Now I'm kind of in the mindset of like, okay, this is a good idea. I've thought about it. I think it's going to be a good idea. And I'm going to roll with it. And we're going to kind of make it up as we go along. And I'm all for that now. Because I've realized, like, I think you expect to come up with an idea, lay it all out, invest all that money like you did, and then you're going to have this nice finished thing. It's just not the reality. It's like, you did not fail at all, by the way. I don't know if you need to hear this. I hate the word fail. Like from a business perspective too, but like you didn't fail. Like you said, like you paid for that, you invested the money, you went through a process, you got mindset stuff, you got coaching stuff. brought you here. Maybe this is beneficial to you. You've met people with money more. Like, all this stuff has helped you along the way. And like, business is like just a series of missteps, right? Like, along a path. Like, you're on a path and it's never a straight linear path. And I think like that's just, that's where you are right now. Like, you didn't fail. You just spent a lot of money along that path.
Exactly. And I think that's an important point, not to get stuck in that failure. Yes. Absolutely.
Do you think that you are jaded or against any of that stuff now, like coaching or marketing? Or like, if I'm not going to do, but if I was like, hey, I want to do marketing for you. If it was anybody else, because I feel like you would say yes to me or talk to me at least. But like, if it was anybody else, would you just be like, no? Like, are you completely done with any of that stuff?
No, I'm not. I am a little bit hesitant in investing that much money again because it's kind of left me in a position I don't like to be in.
Yeah.
But no, I think that there's a lot of value, and I think I might just do a little bit more research next time. I did do a ton of research, so.
Yeah, and sometimes you still have to try stuff. You know, I think, a couple of things. One is make sure if you're making those investments, it is something you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Or like, no one's comfortable losing money, but like, you got to be able to dig yourself. Like, I look at, sometimes I look at my quote unquote failures, but then also I'm like, well, I've proven that I can dig myself out of holes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work. Right? Like, some of my best investments are small amounts of money. When I trace back to like, how did I do this thing? And it's like, oh, it actually comes back to this like one little thing. So you have to be, confident with that. But also I think sometimes, it's the money you're comfortable with in a relative, but like when you start small and it gets success, and then it's putting more money into it. So things like marketing, the $10,000 program, it's nice to hear you're not jaded, but like, you don't have to jump back into the $10,000 thing. But it also was like, okay, if I am going to put out hundreds of dollars or a couple thousand, now you know exactly what you need to measure from that, put in the next step. And that's really how, business and marketing should be, in a way. Like, you have to hold that tension between being patient, waiting for something to work, but then also it should return money for you fairly quickly. So,
I'm always fascinated with the idea of marketing being so transactional too, where the idea is like, okay, I spend a dollar, I'm supposed to make $2. It doesn't always happen. I don't want to say it never happens, but like, it almost never happens right away. It is a learning curve. It's something that like, even, I guess I'm blowing my head up here, but even the best of people with an expert that I have plans and I have processes and I do things in certain ways, there's always things that come up that are new and different. And we put our best foot forward and think like, this has worked in the past. This will work again. It doesn't always happen the exact same way. And we have to be able to pivot and move along. But I hate that marketing has, I don't know if it's become that way or this was a narrative that came up years ago, maybe, of the idea of, okay, we're supposed to, again, get that return on investment right away. It doesn't happen. And like, I think about myself and like, I kind of understand why I can see past it because I'm in it. I'm in the weeds all the time. I've been doing Magic Digital for, I think, going on 5 years. And someone just asked me now, like, where do you get your leads from? I'm like, I do marketing. Again, like, the marketing pays off. Like I'm there. People know who I am. But it took me like 8 months to see anything, not even a return, just for someone to say like, oh, I heard, it was literally someone that was like, oh, I heard of you from someone at the dealership. I don't know anybody from the dealership. That made no sense. That's the first time it clicked where I was like, oh, my marketing worked because that person at the dealership saw me and suggested to their friend that they come reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken me like 8 months to get recognized. And then from there, it's like, okay, then it was a lot of referral word of mouth. I'll say within the last year is the first time literal leads and like just greatly outnumbered referral word of mouth business. Now, but also it is like a gray area, I will say, because that referral word of mouth business is dramatically being affected by marketing too. So if there's someone out there that doesn't even know who I am, they see my marketing, and then somebody else asks, like, hey, like, who does marketing in this town? That person might not actually know me, but the referral word of mouth comes from the actual marketing that they've seen. So I never thought about it in this
way. Oh, yeah. They actually get that stuff all the time. And I think that's part of, you know, there is this, you know, marketing should have that return,
yeah,
but it's not easy, right? And then I think in marketing, we talk about, hey, we want this, you know, you invest this, you get this right away. You want to get to that point, but to get there, like, you got to waste some money, right? And the really good businesses are the ones that have dialed in, and they might know, hey, it costs us this much to get a client. You know, one of the best people I know at doing this, they know that it costs them $1,000 to get a qualified lead and have a conversation with them. So like the program you took, you know, this is one that's it's a similar type of model, but they really screen who they pitch to, and they don't take anyone's money unless they know they can make them successful and give them a good, legit testimonial. So they know they need to talk to 10 people before they even do it, and their budget's just higher for that. But it's taken them years to get that in, and that kind of is the epitome of wasting money wisely, which is, we got to put out money for different things, and we have to know that, you know, our marketing isn't going to hit right away. So, but we have to have the skill to learn what works. I've shared it before. My favorite analogy for this, I don't have kids. Matt has some kids, but when they first start like feeding themselves, and like, you know, they're in the high chair, you got the spoon and the airplane's coming in for a landing and you feed them, they go through like, I don't know, a jar of baby food at dinner. As soon as they start grabbing for that spoon, you are super proud of them, right? They're doing something new. But guess what? Are they going through one jar of baby food at dinner? No, they're going through two, because one's going in the mouth, then two, the other one's going all over the walls and like everywhere. But you are there and happy for that kid. Like, you're happy to like waste that baby food and mop it up off the floor because they're learning something, and our businesses are the same. So as we grow our business, it's like that baby, you know, eating food, and eventually they're going to grow up and they're going to, you know, not throw their food everywhere and, you know, waste it. But until then, like, there's just no way to like go through that without actually doing it.
Can be messy, eh?
It can be. I think it is by design. Like, and I think we don't always know that as business owners, or we constantly have that mindset of like, oh, I failed, or this didn't work. And I think people give up too early sometimes, or they will spend too much for the quick fix right away. And that, you know, we say too much, that's always relative based on the size of business. Like, some are just more expensive to start, and like, you don't know if it's going to work, and maybe you need the $10,000 website, and the only way you can even like show up to the party is to like get that, and then you might, you know, might make nothing from that, but like, you don't know until you actually do it. But you're like that baby,
yeah,
throwing food on your face. Mm-hmm. And that's just the design of how it goes, and every business owner has stories about what works and what doesn't
exactly
work.
Like, I felt like I almost needed this program, getting onto the online space, you know, doing the yoga online and where kind of the trend is going, and then
yeah, I think it's yeah, and now you know what doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. Right. And
absolutely.
I think that's a, like, that's valuable. Mm-hmm. Right, like, you know, it's probably worth more than what you spent in the long run.
But it's just interesting how you said they probably didn't choose me correctly, they didn't vet me enough. But it's interesting because they've actually expanded who they're marketing to, so it's not just yoga teachers now, it's just healers. So they've actually went the opposite way, just expanded their net.
Yeah. And, you know, you never know what someone else is doing, right? And you never know if what they're doing is working. That's sort of maybe a whole other episode, because I see that all the time. It's like, well, I need to be doing this because, you know, this person's doing it. But, you know, they don't know that, you know, they're putting out all this money for Instagram ads and they're getting zero clicks or zero sales. But we think we need to do that. So it kind of all comes back with figuring out what to do for yourself. And there is that, like, you can't just be hesitant and do nothing. So you have to try some stuff, and some of it's not going to work. So, you know, you have to find that balance. And there might not even be a perfect balance of, like, yeah, when you're wasting money and when you're investing it. So,
like I was explaining to you, it's like baking a cake, you know, yeah. You have all the right ingredients, but if one step is wrong, it's not going to inflate. So,
yeah. And we just keep baking more cakes, right?
Yeah. So. Just keep trying something. And that's what I've been doing. So I took my signature program and I'm trying to break down parts of it and create smaller viable products.
Tell us a bit about the program.
Yeah, so it's a 15-week program. It's called the Inner Self Revolution. Mm. And it includes a lot of one-on-one coaching and modules as well that really help people incorporate yoga and spiritual practices back into their life for that connection and community, you know?
How'd you get into this?
So probably my first experience on the spiritual path was traveling. Mm. So I was born during a time of booming consumerism and materialism, and I went to search for more. So I ended up in Australia and then Southeast Asia. And I remember this one experience. I was teaching teenagers how to speak English, and we got to this emotion, anger, and they just couldn't fathom it. You know, so I was thinking, what's the most important thing in their life? Their bicycles. What if your bike breaks? What if someone stole your bike? How would you feel? I'd just be sad. I couldn't come to school. Wow. Okay. So we have this emotion that we just waste so much energy around caring, and like anger actually causes digestion issues, you know? So there's always an energetic cause or root of a symptom.
That's fascinating. That's awesome.
I love that story.
You want to tell a story how you almost died in Fiji on the first day? No. Hear that story after.
I got lots of stories. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. It's all about collecting stories, right? And exactly. That's like the business journey is the same thing. It's like, here's the story of how I wasted some money, right? And that's, I think, powerful in terms of what you learn and then what you rebound from there.
What really put me into gear to open this business was when I was taking my yoga training, which I took when I was living in Spain, and people used to come up to me, can I do yoga with you? Teach me yoga. And I'm like, okay. You know, and not really comfortable, you know, totally teaching it. So I took this certification, and during a meditation, I actually had this vision of me helping people how to breathe, and they were in hospital beds. And then during the pandemic, I was doing a lot of meditation, and that came back. And then I was like, oh my goodness. What am I doing with my life? I was the manager of a winery, running weddings, doing a fantastic job, but nothing that aligned with my soul purpose. And so this kind of kicked me into gear. This program showed up and I said, hey, maybe it's the universe, you know, like,
yeah.
But maybe it was. And it was exactly where I needed to be to end up here.
That's cool.
Exactly.
How did you end up here in Lindsay, though, or in Kawartha Lakes, like Spain, Australia, Fiji, and you decided to stay here?
Mm-hmm. So I've always had a cottage up here. So this place has a very special place in my heart. The nature, I'm a huge nature lover. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel so calm and connected, as most people, because we are nature. Mm-hmm. And, my family lives up here.
Nice. Where specifically, are you in Woodville or am I making it up?
I'm in Little Britain.
Okay. Where is that you do the yoga out of?
In Kirkfield.
Kirkfield. Sorry.
Yeah. So I have a beautiful, place I rent in Kirkfield, the Kirkfield Museum.
Right.
They're renting it out, so if you're looking for space, go there. But they're very reasonable, and yeah, I'm getting a good community. There was this, my students, like, they're very open, and they're like, you know I really don't know you guys that well, but I feel so comfortable here. So that's what I'm really just trying to create, like, that warm environment. People can talk about, you know, what happened in their meditation, because that's so like taboo. Nobody really wants to talk about what's happening in meditation. And I feel like that really slows down the process for not talking about it, right?
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Nice.
That's awesome. All right. What's one thing you want people to know about you, and where do they find you?
Absolutely. Well, something interesting about me is I'm certified in American Sign Language and Deaf Studies. So that's really opened my eyes to all of the oppression and the ways of looking at things. Because, yeah, it's just been interesting. And what's the question? Sorry, Brian.
Oh, where do they find you? So for your business, how do people do business with you?
Yeah, so you can find me at yogamojo.ca. You can find me on Facebook at Shell's Yoga Mojo, and then on Instagram as well.
So website's perfect.
Exactly. So you can just go to the website and then you can find everything. I have lots of events coming up with lots of collaborations with other people. So I really hope to meet some new faces.
That's awesome.
Awesome. All right, Matt, what's one thing you want people to know about you, and where do they find you?
Not enough people know that your business exists. For more people to know that your business exists, you need to be found on Google so you can tell them you have a solution to their problem when they're actively searching for it. I can help you get found on Google in less than, 60 days? Just by going to managingdigital.com and book a call with me.
Awesome.
And I also just want to let everybody know that everybody has the innate ability to heal themselves. So it's just about taking that step, and a coach is just like your spiritual friend that can guide you and give you all the tools, and then you take what resonates with you.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. And I'm Brian. I want to be known as the business coach and teacher that helps your business get money with grants, increased sales, and streamlining your business for revenue and profit. Find me at profitcoach.ca. Matt and I collaborate to help you start, grow, or recharge your business, and we want to work with you. If you want to discuss working with us or be a guest on the podcast, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. And remember, we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses.